United States submarine base at Key West, Florida. A dispatch that quoted President Truman's press secretary, Charles Ross, as saying that President Truman has no knowledge of any secret project by this government that would give substance to the existence of such objects. Ross also said that both the Air Force and the Navy deny that such objects
exist. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, what's up? My name is Noelle, and I'm so sorry the last 2 weeks have been a little inconsistent. It's because last week we went to go see a comedy show on the day that we record and decided to give ourselves a vacation and not stress to fit it in otherwise. Mm-hmm. And you're getting this one this week because I am seeing Barbie tonight.
Yeah. And I'm Chelsea. I'm also sorry because we didn't record because I'm going deaf. I had to deal with that emotionally. And my dog has been a poop tsunami. But I can't wait to live vicariously through Noelle going to the Barbie movie tonight. I will wear my limited edition Barbie Crocs to support her spiritually and emotionally while she is there. And I will see the movie over the weekend, probably.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I totally forgot. We didn't talk about that in Patreon. We were too busy being haters of a certain true crime podcast.
Yeah, there's no good tea there. Just... neurological deafness has been pressed upon me.
That's actually the part of the first time we tried to record Patreon that had to be stopped because of an electrical storm by you, that we remembered being in elementary school and being taken to a traveling med bus and given hearing tests.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's so funny is we're going to talk about this a little bit of how women support each other. But when we originally tried to record Patreon, we talked about the hearing test, we talked about the counting tests, and then the vision tests. I remembered after our failed recording, and this probably wasn't good in the long run, but one of my friends was worried that they would have to get glasses. So we had a small conspiracy of first graders who would tell them the words or the letters so that they could go up and just say it from memory. And I think it worked. They didn't have to get glasses, and then their grades tanked horribly because they couldn't see the board. But you know what? On that day, we fucking fought back.
On that day, it was the communal us, and that's all that matters.
Yep.
But the TLDR is that Chelsea's deafness is real and most likely caused from neurological issues, much like all of the other problems in her life.
Yay!
Oh, man. Speaking of problems in our lives, I am really excited for this episode because this is a topic some people find a sensitive, problematic topic, but for me, and dare I say you, is a topic that consumes our everyday. And when I say consumes, I say it in the most productive, enjoyable, delectable, stress-relieving, tension-releasing way.
And I hope that this episode helps us fight back. And when I say us, I mean those who fucking gossip and scheme on the back end, because whenever I hear somebody criticize gossip, it tends to be somebody who has never been put in a position where they've had to protect themselves by telling people that someone's awful. And I'm so fucking excited to verbalize what we have been referring to for years now.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I hope that this episode is twofold. It is exactly what you said. It vindicates all of us who have been poorly portrayed for partaking in gossip. And most importantly, I want it to open the eyes of people who find themselves saying negative things about people who gossip and gossip in general. I hope we all just get better at the end of the day. So
yeah,
let's get into it. Gossip. The word is from Old English, godsib, from god and sib, the term for godparents, a birthing nurse, or generally very close friend.
Those are good connotations.
Great connotations. It wasn't until the 16th century the word assumed the meaning of a person, mostly a woman, who delights in idle talk, is a newsmonger, or a tattler. I'm going to quote Winifred Acopopi from her article in Medium, which is a magazine. Quote, "The word went from having a divine origin to having an insulting history in a matter of years."
Also, the word gay. Why did it go from being happy to referring to someone's sexual orientation in a negative way?
I mean, there's probably a whole history on that. And speaking of, I personally think one of the most slept on histories is philology, or the history of language and word usage.
Yeah, I would 100% agree.
It literally says a lot.
Oh my God.
It literally says a lot. Okay, totally starting exactly as normal.
Definitely didn't have any issues that needed to be edited out.
Definitely did not have to take a brief break, but anyway, so totally natural sentence. Okay, this is for real. Before we go into the rest of the episode, I need everyone to do a thought experiment first. It's going to be hard, but I don't think you'll have a problem with it, Chelsea. But I need everyone else to suspend the beliefs and assumptions they have when I say gossip throughout this episode. I need everyone to physically remove all of the negative ideology they have about the word and the people who do it and whatever. Whenever you think of it, don't let your mind create an imaginated reality of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, don't think of Anne from finance at the water cooler per se. Just be ready to learn something new, because there is a lot of fascinating stuff here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So let's get into it. Gossip.
You know what it is?
Oh my God, what?
It's like someone saying that Santa Claus isn't real. So every time you hear that, you're like, yeah, it's not real. But then you find out there actually is a fucking Santa Claus, and you're like, I have to unlearn everything. Because we're trying to tell you that Santa Claus is real right now. So you have
that
to fucking chill.
Craziest analogy I would have used, but I appreciate it.
The David, who's the guy from Stranger Things, was it Fright Night? Anyway, that Fright Night has been popping up on my suggested streaming, so I've just had Santa Claus on the brain, and I'm so sorry.
Oh. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yep.
Love a holiday horror. Anyway, okay. Gossip is historical, period. It dates back to cave drawings that depicted being the slowest, weakest hunter that's going to get you trampled by buffalo, or in hieroglyphics, as Elaine Louet describes in her talk on the sociology of gossip, where researchers at California's Rosicrucian Egyptian Museum found a 5,000-year-old text that depicts a king who often checked in on one of his army generals in the middle of the night.
Ooh.
Yeah, scandalous. The text goes on to say that the king resided in a home where there was, quote, no wife.
Oh.
Draw whatever conclusions you want there. I'll tell you, they were not talking about anything military related.
I don't know. They were invading someone. You know what I mean?
Something was getting invaded. Or drawings found in the servants' quarters near Queen Hatshepsut's site that show a royal female having erotic relations with a non-royal male. Scandals.
Yet now we would say that that is 100% historical, valid content.
Yeah, because now we can call it history.
Yeah.
At the time, it was gossip, but now we can call it history. Gossip is how information is shared. It is how we learn, how we stay safe, and how we understand our own morals and the people around us.
Yes.
At its literally big, big ones. Big. And before I get into this, an example that was used during the history of gossip lecture that I watched, she references, and it's the Elaine girl that I mentioned above. Mm-hmm. She mentions the Kirsten Stewart, Robert Pattinson cheating scandal, right?
Yeah.
And even says about how former Demon President Trump made a very infamous tweet about it, about like, oh my gosh, I've got to.
Yeah, he was like, oh, Robert Pattinson should kick her to the curb or something. Very weird, yeah.
It was iconic in the most horrific Trump way. I think he had a series of tweets, honestly, but the best one was, Robert Pattinson should not take back Kirsten Stewart. She cheated on him like a dog and will do it again. Just watch. He can do so much better.
So stupid.
And then he literally said, there were two tweets. It was October 17th, 2012 and October 22nd, 2012. So the one I just read was October 17th. And then the next one on the 22nd was, everyone knows I am right that Robert Pattinson should dump Kirsten Stewart. In a couple of years, he will thank me. Be smart, Robert.
I don't want to say I agree with Trump, but I do think that our Pats has really excelled in both of his career. And I don't want to say Kirsten Stewart was holding him back. I'm just saying, if I had to pick one tweet that I would agree with, so yeah, Robert Pattinson should thank Donald Trump for this sound advice.
It's the only thing I agree with Trump on. So she talks about this being like, it was such a cultural phenomenon when it happened. Mm-hmm. And because what was Robert Pattinson and Kirsten Stewart, but like this pulse of people in the country, and specifically women, how they were a fantasy couple of a very stereotypical knight in shining armor, chivalry is not dead, haughty little vampire, and like the aloof wallflower girl. And then he comes and, you know, whisk her away, if you will, right?
Yeah, even look at like the Try Guys with like the Ned cheating scandal on his wife, Ariel, because that all started with somebody taking a picture and sharing the picture on Reddit, and it blew this thing wide open, but it opened up the conversation of like inappropriate work relationships between a superior and a subordinate. That men who obsess over their wives is just like that fucking smoke screen, because he would always talk about his wife and then really he was just treating her like trash. And it was like the gossip behind that ended a fucking problematic marriage and she wouldn't have known about it. You know what I mean? How much longer would this have transpired and commenced if the gossip didn't warn this poor woman?
Well, even the reason why we gossiped about these two people, why Trump felt the need to tweet about Robert Pattinson and Kirsten Stewart, we all definitely had an opinion back then as well.
Yeah.
And why we even had most recent opinions about like the Try Guy scandal. And it's not because we have relations to these people or that we think our opinions matter and in the end result of what they choose to do. Mm-hmm. It's how we signal to each other and the people around us what our moral compass is and what our values are.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, we don't have the same dangers that we did when we first crawled out of the ocean. So we don't have like hackles like dogs that we can put up, or we don't have like bird feathers where we can get bigger. We're not puffer fish, but this is like how we signal what we perceive to be danger to others. This is our call of like, there's danger here. And it's like, this is our danger because it's the rules that society has said are appropriate. And we don't find cheating and lying and stealing, you know, and being the things like that to be appropriate. So this is like, in a sense, how we get our hackles up to warn others. This is our bird call.
Yeah. And it's also how you can see if other people align with you and if you want to be around them or how you want to perceive them. Because when people would talk shit in the opposite direction on both of these like situations, and by talk shit, I mean gossip with a giant heart and giant heart eyes, when they would maybe defend Kirsten Stewart for cheating on Rob, or when they would defend Ned for cheating on his wife. I think that was his name. It might not be. I don't remember. The Try Guy.
I'll never
that thank God, that signifies to you as someone participating in the conversation or observing the conversation, absorbing the gossip,
yeah,
what that person aligns with. And maybe they shouldn't be like in your trusted inner circle because like they have a different perspective or outlook on things that you find different from your moral,
yeah, it's, moral values. And even more serious, it's not like, oh, this dude's cheating on his wife, but it's also like in the same sense, the people who are like, oh, well, what was she wearing? Mm-hmm. And that immediately is like, oh, hackles up. This is a dangerous person because that's their immediate verbal response. And I know that this is not someone to be fucked with because yeah, that's what they say in a crisis. They're not part of my tribe. They're not part of my herd. I know that I will get fucked up if I'm around them, mm-hmm, and it's dangerous for
yeah,
me. Yeah.
Yeah. 1,000%. And it's, I mean, at its core, gossip is sociology and anthropology.
Yeah.
It's the history of us. Mm-hmm. But to demystify it even more, sociology professors have defined gossip as talking about people who aren't there.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? So gossip can be you and your boys drafting up your fantasy football team, door-to-door canvassing for your favorite political candidate, retelling a funny story that happened over the weekend to a coworker, or updating on an engagement in the family. Anytime that you are speaking about someone who is not there, whether positive, negative, or indifferent, you are, by definition, gossiping.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That makes sense.
A study out of the University of California, Riverside, showed that less than 15% of gossip is negative, which is contrary to popular belief, right?
Yeah.
That same study also found that women engage in more neutral gossip than men.
Oh, interesting.
How interesting.
Yeah, the dictionary literally defines it as casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just conversation.
Yeah.
The mass majority of gossip is anecdotal tidbits, life updates, and just shooting the shit, if you will.
Yeah.
The study also showed out of a mixed group of people, on average, they spend 80% of their conversations gossiping. And that's just technicality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at any point of your conversation, you can be talking about or referencing someone who is not there. And by definition, you are gossiping.
Yeah. It's like literally sending screenshots of like friends on Instagram and being like, look how fucking good she looks in this outfit. Like,
yeah.
There's, yeah.
Technically gossip. I mean, yeah, even sharing a new song by Zach Bryan that came on your release radar on Spotify to someone and saying, isn't this so good? That's technically gossip because you're talking about him and he's not there.
Yeah. Bunch of gossips. Gossiping, right? Gertrude's all up in here. I couldn't think of a good name to go with gossip. I'm sorry. My alliteration game is just not on fucking point lately.
You tried. It's okay. You tried. Because again, remember, gossiping is just talking about people who aren't physically there, and it is not inherently bad. Mm-hmm. So how can something that makes up such a massive part of our lives and cultures become seen as so negative? And how do most people create such cognitive dissonance with it to convince themselves that they aren't doing it while they're in the middle of it? And that it is inherently bad and, above all, a negative feminine trait. Chelsea, don't read ahead. And tell me some things about the Middle Ages. You can just start rattling them off.
Middle Ages, we weren't very scientifically advanced at that time. There was a lot of chaos happening in the world. I think of that as the time of the plague. I think of that as the time of like witch trials and witch hunts. Mm-hmm. I think of that as very like bring out your dead era. A lot of religion, upswing.
I guess you kind of hit on it with like the we weren't really scientific, right? We didn't really like know a lot.
Very religious times, I would say.
Can we also agree that most people could not read or write?
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that because I would say that learning to read or write was something that the church kind of controlled or that the monarchy would control. Because I'm thinking of more Europe, like white European Middle Ages.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Out of the total population of Europe at the time, only 10% of men and less than 1% of women were literate. And I don't think I have to remind anyone, but just in case, women, both single or married, were legally considered subordinate to their husband or male head of household, and a woman's land automatically became the property of her husband on marriage, meaning women had no rights to property, money, education, or independence. And just to remind people that I am not just talking about medieval ancient lore, although the Equal Pay Act was passed in 1963, requiring men and women to be paid equally when doing the same work, it wasn't until the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, the ECOA, that was passed in 1974, just 4 years before Chelsea was born.
What? What? Is that math-mathin'? That's 14 years, you fucking Philistine.
You asshole.
Do you want to know how you can remember 14? Because that should be the size of your giant fucking clown feet, you ass.
I put that in there just for me. But also scary that it was only, in reality, 14 years from when you were born.
That's my parents were both alive at this point. That's so weird. I was a twinkle in my mother's eye.
You were swimming in your dad's ballsack at this time. You were about to jump out.
Yeah, how old was my dad? 1959 minus 1974. I don't want anyone to clock me. My father was 15 years old in 1974. So my mom was 14.
And in 1974, besides being just a breath away from Chelsea's conception,
how dare you?
women were able to get their own credit cards in their own name. So literally up until 1974, like, that is literally yesterday. It is so gross to think about. Like, it was yesterday, women were not allowed to even have credit cards in their name. But anyway, back to the Middle Ages. In the late Middle Ages, people hosted friendship meetings to talk, chat, and catch up. In a patriarchal society, a general structure in which men have power over women, and or feudal society, which is structuring society around relationships derived from the holding of land, aka power and money, keeping people illiterate meant keeping them out of the know and incapable, which is why education was reserved for the wealthy and, as Chelsea mentioned, the clergy, and typically only men. So talking being one of the only ways to communicate, these gatherings flourished. Mm-hmm. They would speak on topics of politics, work, food, partners, aka Chelsea.
Gossip.
But we started to see a bit of a shift in circumstance. Women being limited in their ability to congregate would have these meetings in passing or in public. When men tended to keep it behind closed doors at coffee gatherings, pubs, work, or amongst themselves in private. I also want to say this was not limited to the Middle Ages, that we can assume this same type of setup where, like, women don't have the ability or access to, like, they don't have jobs. They can't, like, go meet up. They can't, like, go to pubs. They can't, you know, we can assume that historically, even before the Middle Ages, like, women were having casual conversation, aka gossip, when just passing each other in the market. So,
yeah,
I'm not just saying it's this one time period. This is
right.
This is probably, as history will tell us, I'm just focusing in on the Middle Ages because what I'm about to say next. But
yeah.
So, again, we can assume this type of communication goes back even further. And Chelsea, you mentioned it earlier. Could you go ahead and tell me another historical issue that arose against mostly women during this time?
Pregnancy. Just kidding. Witchcraft.
You fucking better believed it. If any of you also guessed witchcraft, you'd be right. What do you do when you have a group of unruly women? You label them as witches and hang them in a public square.
Even we're fucking doing this today. What do you call it when women start calling out problematic men, if not like the fucking witch hunt? Like, yep. They're still trying to, you know,
they
what
are
I mean?
Literally specifically problematic politicians. Anytime that people call them out, they say it's a witch hunt. We have not changed.
Yeah. And so anytime you hear witch, 99% of the people are going to be like, oh, woman, mm-hmm. problematic women are witches. Yeah.
And see, women weren't just talking about how cute their veils looked. They were talking about how Sally's husband was killed in the war. She lost all her property and she was kicked to the streets. They talked about the guard who came at night and would grope you if he got the chance, or how Mary's husband beat her to death and got away with it. Throughout history, the thing that brought any oppressed group safety, security, warning, ideas, and conversations about how they deserved freedom and fairness was gossip.
Mm-hmm.
In Silvia Federici's lecture, The Globalization of Women's Work and New Forms of Violence Against Women, she says, quote, "Female friendships were one of the targets of the witch hunts. It was in this context that gossip turned from a word of friendship and affection into a word of denigration and ridicule," end quote. And here came one of the first big changes in the definition and nature of gossip. Men's gossip was seen as important, noble, and intelligent, as they have historically been a group that could hold power, jobs, title, and money. Even now, masculine gossip is described as discussion, lobbying, networking, or just cracking open a cold one with the boys.
Shooting the shit, hanging out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no masculine description or like feminist description for gossip that's comparable to a lot of that other stuff.
And the other thing is, like, not only was gossip seen as, like, important, noble, and intelligent, it was also seen as, like, nonchalant. Whereas when women were getting together and talking, it was always seen as catty or negative or unimportant or a waste of time.
Yeah. It's just another way to fucking hate on women and anything that, like, teenage girls do.
Yeah.
But we're all doing it.
Yeah. Literally. While women's gossip was, as I said, seen as a frivolous pastime for jobless drama seekers who have nothing better to do. And did you think that was it? Just some bad press, and that's why we think gossip is an unbecoming womanly trait? Fuck no, you goddamn idiots. Because in 1547, I almost said 1947.
In 1547, it could have been 1947.
As far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
A proclamation was issued, quote, "forbidding women to meet together to babble and talk," end quote. Ordering husbands to, quote, "keep their wives in their houses," end quote.
Yeah, because dudes didn't want, like, all the nonsense that women were noticing to be called out publicly.
Literally and exactly. Any women who broke these laws or spoke out against them were brought to trial. During these trials, much like the witch trials, they were encouraged through torture to snitch on their friends, sisters, mothers, and daughters. Punishments like the scold's bridle, aka the gossip's bridle, was an iron muzzle in an iron framework that enclosed the head, although some bridles were masks depicting like a face of suffering. A bridle bit or curb plate, about 2 inch by 1 inch in size, was slid into the mouth and pressed down on top of the tongue, often with a spike on the tongue, as a compress. It functioned to silence the wearer from speaking entirely, as any mouth movement with it in would rip out bits of flesh. The gossip's bridle was used primarily on women, not only for pain and punishment, but for extra humiliation, a bell could be attached to it to draw in crowds, and the wearer was led around town by a leash. And I attached some pictures, Chelsea. What are you seeing here?
So the first one looks like a slightly worse skeletal version of the Man in the Iron Mask with Leo DiCaprio, but its mouth is like jagged razor blades. The next one, it looks like, again, maybe something that they would put on Hannibal Lecter to keep him from eating people.
But yeah, if it was like, made out of iron. It reminds me, the mouth part of it reminds me of the scene in Beetlejuice where he like slaps on, like Beetlejuice slaps on that metal bit across her mouth and drills it in.
Uh-huh.
That's like the mouth part, and then it has a whole face harness around her nose, forehead, and head.
Yeah, it's like an egg-shaped cage that they wear. And then in the last photo, it shows just different types of it. But in the very center, it shows a man leading his wife by like a fucking leash while she's wearing one of these. And the onlookers are just staring.
Mm-hmm. So... Besides the gossip's bridle, death by drowning and immolation, or lighting on fire, were other forms of punishment used against women who gossiped, stood up for themselves, or questioned authority. And that was it, you guys. Humanity learned its lesson, and we stopped being sexist freaks and just enjoyed gossip.
Yay, now I can tell everybody about problematic shit on the internet, and it's not just me wasting my time. Woo!
Yep. Nope. No. Because remember, here we are in the year of our Dark Lord 2023, still believing gossip is an inherently bad thing that basically only shit-talking obsessed women do, and it's stupid and they're dumb and they should actually do something productive with each other, right?
Yeah, like learning to read.
So, let's jump to the 19th century. German inventor Karl von Drais. Dreyas?
Sure.
Probably Dreyas. Is credited with developing the first bicycle. His machine, known as the Swift Walker, hit the road in 1817. The early bicycle had no pedals, and its frame was a wooden beam.
It's like a bunch of little toddlers, just like when you get the bikes with no pedals, and little toddlers just walk on it.
Then the penny farthing, also known as a high wheel, came along. It was popular in the 1870s and 1880s. You would recognize it as that bike with the comically large front wheel and itty bitty tiny back wheel. The thing both of these bikes had in common, besides looking insane, they were hard to ride. Until the late 1880s, with the development of modern bicycles, which provided chain-driven gear trains, comfort through normal-shaped tires, and were marketed in comparison to penny farthings as, quote, safety bicycles because of the reduced danger of falling and the reduced height from which to fall from.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. Yeah, biking's already miserable enough. Like, I don't want to have to, like, do a flying leap just to get on the thing, only to, like, fall 45 feet to my death. Once it inevitably tips over.
I was trying to find how many reported, like, leg and arm breakings happen from the penny farthing, but couldn't find a definitive number. But
all I can think of is just the Jackass skit where they have them and they're just slamming into
the little, like, parking bumps in the parking lot.
Yeah, they're just in a parking lot slamming into curbs.
Oh my gosh, incredible. But you might be asking yourself, hey, Noelle, what the fuck does this have to do with gossip? And I would say everything. As Munsey's magazine put it in 1896, quote, to men, the bicycle in the beginning was merely a new toy, another machine added to the long list of devices they knew in their work and play. To women, it was the steed upon which they rode into a new world.
Ooh, I love that.
You love that? In the late 1890s and early 1900s in Europe and America, bicycles gave women a means to travel, began to challenge the ideas of Victorian femininity, and they were what sparked the dress reform movement so women could wear clothes that allowed them to engage in physical activities.
That's actually interesting, yeah, because I imagine that women at this time weren't really encouraged to work outside the home, so they wouldn't have access to their own money, because like you said, when women got married, all land, finances, or whatever would go to their husband. So all the money to afford even a vehicle or a bicycle or a vehicle to like travel around on would go to the man, and I don't even imagine they'd let women drive. But a bicycle is a little bit more obtainable even now, like in instead of like getting a car. So it does make sense. And then, yeah, you can't wear a dress and ride those things.
Yeah. And it was just, it was, bikes were easier to ride. Like they were just easier to get on. So.
And then you can go farther distances to chat with your lady friends.
Exactly. And just another brief history moment. What else was going on in the 18th century? For anyone who doesn't remember, the women's suffrage movement.
That's voting.
AKA the right to vote. Bicycles became the way women got around when it came to participating in the movement and hearings. And what we could summarize, what these women were doing in their meetings where they discussed wanting and needing and getting the right to vote, what could we summarize that as?
Fucking gossip 101.
Fucking gossip. And that was it, you guys. Humanity learned its lesson and we stopped being sexist freaks.
I love that.
No.
Ah, fuck.
No. Because enter in bicycle face. While the gossip's bridle came out of fashion, being a sexist weirdo who seemingly never has, and even to this day. So medical, quote, professionals came up with this, quote, disease. And Chelsea, if you want to go ahead and read this paragraph from the Literary Digest from 1895.
Yeah. Should I read it in like a transatlantic added? All the exertion, the upright position on the wheel, and the unconscious effort to maintain one's balance tend to produce a wearied and exhausted bicycle face, described as usually flushed, but sometimes pale. I'm losing the accent. Often with lips more or less drawn, the beginning of the dark shadows under the eyes, and always with an expression of weariness.
Basically, just the look of being exhausted while riding a bike.
Yeah, because riding a bike is fucking hard. For me specifically.
Literally. In the Vox article titled Bicycle Face, they state, quote, elsewhere, the condition was characterized by a hard, clenched jaw and bulging eyes. Descriptions of bicycle face varied. Some implied it could be a permanent condition, while others maintained that given enough time away from a bike, the person's bicycle face would eventually subside. Also, exhaustion, insomnia, heart palpitations, headaches, and depression, these were all negative side effects associated with riding a bike.
Okay, so bikes come out. People ride bikes, and then they immediately dial it back by saying that there was all of these negative things that would happen. And dare I say, a lot of this is just exercise.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but they were framing it as like, women, if you keep riding these fucking bikes, you're going to have the face of a bulldog.
So bicycle face was specifically an affliction that women only experienced. Men were fine.
Anyone could get it, but the majority of people diagnosed and threatened with it were women.
Got it. Okay. So they're just making it another thing that women cannot, with their tiny brains and little dainty hearts, participate in.
Yeah, exactly. Like when they would run medical ads about it, it was a woman was depicted as having it, not a man. But not to say that men couldn't have it, but just only women were diagnosed with it. So
got it. Know. Yeah. Like hysteria.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let me also rattle off a few completely unhinged bike laws for women. And this is only a selection. Please keep that in mind. Don't cultivate a bicycle face.
Yeah, don't be ugly and tired.
Exactly. Don't refuse assistance up a hill from a man. Assistance up a hill from a man.
Okay. Huh.
Don't ask.
Stupid.
Don't ask. What do you think of my bloomers?
Yeah, you fucking sex worker.
Nice.
Thank you.
Don't use bicycle slang. Leave that to the boys. I don't know what bicycle slang is.
I don't know either.
You can't use it. You can't use it.
You want to touch my kickstand?
Right? Want to sit on these pegs? I don't even think they had pegs back then.
You fucking pervert. Yeah.
Don't try to ride in your brother's clothes to, quote, see how it feels.
I don't like the quote. That quote makes it feel gross.
It is gross.
That makes it feel worse. Yeah.
This is my favorite one. Don't emulate your brother's attitude if he rides parallel with the ground, aka don't laugh at your brother if he falls off the bike.
You should fucking laugh.
So
I say, you've gone parallel there, sir. Yeah.
Fucking unreal. So, if you haven't figured it out yet, bikes were another means for women to share or gossip with each other. It was another way that women were able to enter the world and take part in it.
Yeah, so you have to shut that shit down by threatening what you only think a woman's value is by saying you'll just get ugly.
Mm-hmm. Insane, dude. It's fucking insane that happened. And it's also insane that, like, kind of nothing happened. Like, it came out, and then it wasn't until the 60s or 70s that like a woman in health science was like, hey, by the way, this is all fucking bananas. Like, this is literal lies, because being on a bicycle and exercising has been proven to, you know, like, help lower high cholesterol, like, you know, all of this other shit.
Right.
So it's just, but it kind of just, people were like, well, okay. It was the, like, subconscious, like, that's why women can't play sports. Like, just stupid.
He says while he blows, like, cigarette smoke into a baby's face at the doctor's office. Yeah.
No, literally. Sounds like your doctor's.
Yeah, my doctor's. Oh, my God. I should tell my doctor I think I have bicycle face, and then maybe they'll finally take me seriously.
Maybe. But all this to say that it doesn't leave us blind to the fact that gossip can be used in a negative way. And I think we've all experienced that.
Yeah.
But I think we can all agree that people who use gossip to lie and manipulate end up getting burnt by it. Because the other side of gossip is an individual's morals, perceptions, and context. Just like how we talked about the Robert Pattinson, Kirsten Stewart thing. Like, the when you peel back the layers of a gossip onion, at its core is morals and our moral compass and our opinions on morality.
Yeah, and that's true. Like, we even see it ourselves when we're gossiping in our girl group, of being like, oh shit, someone in the local community has yet again been accused of being a fucking problematic pervert. Mm-hmm. And then on the same flippity flip, not shaming women for their bodies.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like the gossip does evolve mostly. And I would dare say that, like, the only reason why people fear gossip so much, especially in, like, groups of women, is because it's 99% of the time spitting truth.
Exactly. And, like, we've probably all experienced, like, being told the most extravagant fairy tale and fallacies by someone, and you take it – it's literally where the term take it with a grain of salt comes from.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, I don't know if I trust anything they're saying.
Right.
Like, that is history. That has been how groups of people, as far back as human society has existed, how they would, like, come to conclusions. It would be like, yeah, you know, I heard he was saying that crazy stuff about the bread, but, you know, last time he got on the roof and barked like a dog. You know, maybe we should.
Yeah, it's like fucking Oog Boog ate 35 green berries and now he's dead. Maybe we're not going to eat green berries anymore. Like,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
From the dawn of our entire, it's just from the dawn of man.
Yeah, and you, someone just doesn't get to, like, spit something at you, like, verbally,
yeah.
not physically, like, and you don't just absorb it as fact, right?
Right.
I don't come up to you and say, Bigfoot robbed me last night, even though that would be cool. You wouldn't just be like, yeah, that's crazy. Oh my God, are you okay? You'd be like, how do you have, like, how do you know it was him? Like, do you have pictures? Do you have a grainy photograph in motion? Did it smell like a skunk ape? You would ask for additional information. Or if you had known me as someone who stands on the side of a street corner or in front of a Circle K screaming for cigarettes and how the world is ending, and I came up to you and I said, a Bigfoot robbed me last night, you'd be like, cool.
Yeah, it's
okay. And walk away. Like, because the last ingredient of gossip is your morality and perception of the person who's telling it, the person it's about, and context.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's the last ingredient, which even when people are convincing with gossip that is not true or that turns out to be false, it will always uncover itself.
Yeah.
Like, it might not happen immediately, but it will come out and it will reflect on them poorly. Gossip has walked hand in hand with humanity. From the people of ancient Greece who relied on gossip to determine which members of their community could not be trusted, like in the examples we just talked about, or a couple of friends who haven't seen each other all week. The euphemisms people use to remove the stigma around gossip are never ending. You'll hear shop talk, post-meeting debriefing, corridor conversations, water cooler talk, or just catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than asking what's the tea after coming back from vacation, men are more likely to ask what's been going on. It's the difference in what makes you a, quote, good listener with great people skills and being dramatic.
Yeah. Once again, it's taking anything that's remotely feminine and demonizing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's why, like, it's okay for women to wear pants, for example, but if a dude wears a skirt, that's a problem, because anything that is expressively feminine will always be a problem.
Exactly. And the intention behind the questions, both what's the tea and what's been going on, they're the same. Mm-hmm. But the latter softens the shame associated with gossip, the shame that we have created and put upon it. Gossip is tied to our earliest experiences with compassion. It teaches us communication. It brings us closer to the people around us. It protects communities.
Mm-hmm.
And has been a proven stress reliever. If you have a negative connotation with gossip, ask yourself why. Is it because whisper networks are what outed your bad behaviors or actions? Like the girlies on TikTok exposing cheating spouses at bachelor parties.
Yep.
Is it because you have some internalized misogyny that makes you look at a group of girls laughing and chatting with each other and think, wow, a gaggle of mean girls? I, and dare I say we, challenge you to fight that. We challenge you to beat that down, because the source of your negative association to gossip comes from years of forced down the throat violence and hatred of women. Everyone listening right now, throughout this episode, we've talked about cavemen, Egyptians, ancient Greeks, people of the Middle Ages, Victorian era Europeans, turn of the century Americans, and people of TikTok, who are all not here with us in the room right now. So guess what you've been doing this whole time?
Gossiping.
And didn't we have so much fun and learn so much while doing it? Gossip is truly the only calorie-free, delectable treat we can all share. Next time you want to call someone a shit-talking gossip, flip it, reverse it, and hit them with a spill the tea, sis. I promise, when you're not being such a misogynist, gossip is so fun.
I love calorie-free fun. So
me
much.
Too, girl.
It's good
me
for the complexion.
Too.
It's like sunbathing. Just sunbathing without the fear of cancer.
Exactly.
Just deliciously good for the soul.
Delectable. And I didn't get too much into it, but gossip being some of our first experiences with compassion, like when someone's retelling you a story or a situation that happened to them by other people, maybe recounting a story of them being bullied by someone.
Mm-hmm.
At a very young age, you could be on the playground and your friend comes up to you and says, you know, like, Kyle threw sand in my eyes. And like, Kyle's not anywhere near, you know,
mm-hmm.
And they're crying and you're like, oh my God, are you okay? Do you want me to tell a teacher? You're learning compassion. You are learning sympathy and empathy at the hands of gossip. And I think that is such an interesting perspective to put it in, because yeah. We all do it, whether you want to admit it or not, mm-hmm. as we saw with the stats given. And it's I've definitely been hit with the negative connotations of being a gossip. I've been hit with like, all you girls do is just get together and gossip. And it's like, that's what you do with your friends as well.
Yeah.
The only difference is that you're putting a negative connotation on it because yeah. we're just a group of girls. And yeah. it is actually unfortunate and sad that a lot of the times when women get together and catch up and talk, some of the gossip being shared is about terrible things that men have done to them.
Yeah. And they – yeah, and that obviously that's why it has to have a terrible connotation going with it, because society dictates rules and who runs society but the people in power, and then that shit rolls downhill. It's the only form of trickle-down economics that actually works, and that is that the marginalized will always be shit upon.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I didn't realize, like, I knew about a gossip's bridle, but I hadn't, like, put it together. I just thought it was a form of like torture. I didn't realize that it was specifically made for like combating women speaking to each other and speaking truth to power.
Yeah.
And
society will take care of the shit talkers and the problem makers. We ostracize people, we ice them out, all this stuff. So it's like we have ways to shut down any problematic gossip, so to speak. You know what I mean? But it's just another, it's just a propaganda war against women is really what it is.
Yeah. And it's interesting in the fact that like, when there's something so palpable as a hatred of gossip or a demonization of gossip, and it's specifically being tied to women as a negative thing, when there's something so palpable like that, it's always connected to historical moments. And it is, it was interesting and like really eye-opening and validating that, like that was exactly true. Like that was exactly the case. Like,
yeah.
When you follow the red thread from why you look at a group of women hanging out with each other and go like, they're just a bunch of gossiping drama. Mm-hmm. And then you follow it all the way back throughout history. You see where that came from.
Yeah. And it's like, what label it for what, like, what is an old wives tale if not gossip? Or what are like the grandma's healing tinctures of like chicken noodle soup, or if not gossip, or like cut an onion in half and put it like folk magic. What is folk magic if not gossip? You know?
Yeah.
There's so many different ways it's evolved over time, and we still use it today. And it's how medicinal remedies that actually still work formed, you know? And it's all just gossip that came from people sharing information.
Yeah. No, exactly. So yeah, there you go. That is the history of gossip.
So fascinating.
Yeah, I hope we all learned a lot. I hope that some people have had a change of heart, or at least want to try to change, or at least realize and recognize like what they're doing. Speaking of gossip, I'm here to tell you about the amazing Kelly Holloran, or at Wildwood Owl on Etsy. You can find a link to her Etsy storefront in the link tree in all of our bios. We are at Go to Hell Podcast. I am at Noelle Fain. That is at Sith Lard. She makes cool art for us and cool art in general, so check it out. We also have a link to our Patreon. A dollar gets you in. Really fun episode this week. Mm-hmm. Not as heavy as it has been in the past, but just a really fun – actually, no, it is. We talked about fucking the atom bomb. Yeah,
we did. We talked about the atom bomb. But then shit on my favorite murder. So
yeah, it's a good one. It is actually a little bit heavy, but it's like it's a good sandwich. It's like light, heavy, and then light, so – a little meal there. A dollar gets you in. Come hang out on Patreon. We also have a link to our merch page where 100% of the proceeds are donated. We have the super cool, you know, saving the whales, sink the yachts, fuck the billionaires merch, as well as our Drag is Not a Crime, Drag Story Hour. So definitely check those out. And also big shout out, big fucking shout out. And Chelsea, you might be able to pull their username up really quick. But last year we did donate to the Trevor Project. And this year we have donated to Drag Story Hour, and we are going to continue to donate to the ACLU, which is the American Civil Liberties Union, because they are fighting across all fronts, whether it's the legislation against drag performers, whether it's legislation against all of our trans brothers and sisters. We are donating to them since they are kind of doing all of it and everywhere at once. But we have in the past donated to the Trevor Project. And do you have the listener's username?
Yeah. Ashen O. Ash. They flagged us on the issue that the Trevor Project has been doing some
They were doing union busting. Yeah,
they were union busting. That's it. So thank you for flagging us on that. I had no idea, and they were still definitely within our rotation of different charities. But thank you for pointing that out to us. They have since been removed completely. We are very pro-union here, and we do not believe in that. So current charities right now, ACLU, specifically for like the drag merch, and then also a kind of save this a specific whale pod foundation, because we hope that we can fortify their numbers so that they can kill more millionaires on their yachts.
Billionaires, and yes, yeah, but the millionaires can go down with them too. We also have a link to our Discord channel, our Facebook group, and I don't know why you need it, but places to listen to us, which is anywhere podcasts are heard. I'm going to go ahead and give a, you know, this is very special to me, because the way that religion has shape-shifted the term gossip, they have made it seem as a demonic succubus, loose lips habit of women who cannot be trusted. And as we learned today, that is anything but the truth. So I would like to give it up to the number one in my heart, the one who would never demonize me for gossiping and knows the importance of gossip. I probably the world's best gossip themselves. So I'm going to go ahead and give a hail Satan.
I'm going to say hail pumpkin, because it is the only thing I've been able to give Bear in his leaky butthole all week. And I'm sure that he's just had 50 crap attacks in the house while we've been recording this.
Well, you go check that out, and let's get the fuck out of here.
Bye.
Bye.